Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Botanical gardens, Holly. What are they? What are their appeal? And why should we visit one if we have one nearby?
Yeah, so the first botanical garden was established during the Middle Ages, and these gardens existed in Pisa, Bologna, Padua, and Leiden, so like in Italy. And there's a lot of them that still exist today, and a lot of the aromatic and medicinal herbs are still there at those original botanical gardens. And the first one was established in Philadelphia by somebody named John Bartram. So botanical gardens have been around for a long time. They started as like just public gardens and kind of research gardens. And then now they have turned into even more research and scientific purposes. But they're also something that are available, most of them, I think I would probably say, almost all of them are available to the public, and that's the whole purpose of them, is so that you can go and learn and appreciate them as well. But it's kind of, I guess, like a gift to the community in a way.
A public, like a park.
Yeah. And a lot of them, you know, they built that scientific academic connection in the 17th century. And then a lot of them were established with a revival of learning that occurred during the Renaissance time. So there, you know, there's probably like a lull, and then the Renaissance time happened, and then there was another interest in them. And so they do have a documented collection of living plants. They do the scientific research. They promote conservation and education. So if you've never been to a botanical garden, when you go, the plants are labeled. So you'll be like, what's that? And then it's like, this is a coreopsis. And sometimes, this summer I went to the International Crane Foundation in Baraboo, Wisconsin. And it wasn't a botanical garden per se, but they had all of the plants labeled so that you could kind of learn. And this is becoming more and more common, I've noticed, is sometimes you go to a place like a zoo or
public place, yeah.
Yeah, and they will have the plants labeled. And a lot of times they will be native plants. So that's not quite a botanical garden, but
so,
it's kind of botanical garden.
For those in the Milwaukee area who listen to us on our flagship station, Joy 1340 and 98.7 FM, how is a botanical garden different than the Milwaukee domes that we hear about in the news?
Milwaukee domes are a botanical garden.
They are. It is,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And for people who are not aware, who are outside, the domes are, three or four?
Three.
Unique environmental creations of indoor. It's a desert is one, rainforest type environment is the other, and I forget what the third one is because
it's a show dome.
And in the desert dome, you've got the cacti and all the things you would see like in a desert.
Look at you talking about the dome.
And then the other one, it's a tropical where they have trees,
yeah,
growing where they will harvest the pods that you would make chocolate from.
And then they have that stinky flower. Is it the stinky flower?
I forget what it is, yeah. But it opens once every year. Every 7 or 8 years. And it smells like rotting human corpse, and people will stand in line for hours to see this and smell this. It's a big thing.
It is a big thing. Can I put it in my goth garden? So anyway, so the botanical gardens that Joy just mentioned, one that's a very unique one to our area. Then there's also, so if you're ever like, how do I find a botanical garden? You simply just type in botanical garden and put in your zip code. Now, I've visited a number of them in the state, and even I went to one in Iowa and other states as well, and Illinois, things like that. And you can usually find them near larger cities. And a lot of times they're free. Sometimes they do charge you a fee.
The one in Milwaukee is not. One, it charges a fee for some of the upkeep and employment.
Right. And then there's the burner. I think that's how you say it, botanical gardens in Milwaukee as well. And then sometimes they have special events. Like they recently had the China Lights event, which is a nighttime thing where you see these beautiful light displays. So there's one in Madison, Wisconsin, That's the Olbrich Garden. That one is free. And then they also do a light display. Not the China lights, but they do a light display as well in the fall. So it is a... It is something that...
Titan Arum, A-R-U-M, is the plant that smells like rotting human flesh.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, you can find a lot of interesting things at the botanical gardens, usually. And sometimes they do charge a small fee. You know, just to link this back to Wisconsin, I went to the one in Green Bay a couple times, and they do charge you. But it was worth it. They had just a lot... To me, it's worth it. I think that, obviously, free is better, but... it's someplace to walk around. You are in nature. It's usually very close by to wherever you live, and you find you can learn something. It's relaxing. I don't know. I like them. So, yeah. Even I talked about this before. The Labyrinth Garden. It wasn't quite a botanical garden, but they did have all the plants labeled, so that was helpful. And I think it's a good point of education, and you can. Find something to learn and talk about or just
don't touch these things.
Don't touch these things. You can appreciate the beauty. You can, I mean, I know people come from all over to go to certain botanical gardens. So it's just something that's helpful. And sometimes you'll find random things like sculptures are fun or different architecture or design, little fun roads to walk on. At the one in Madison, at the Olbrich, there's a pagoda. I don't want to ruin the surprise for anybody. There's a pagoda there, so it's really cool. Like, if you didn't expect it, you're like, whoa, that's neat. And so, yeah.
For people who don't know what a pagoda is, it's a, isn't it a Chinese or is it, it's East, an Asian.
It's Asian. I think it's China. I don't know.
It's like, it's what Indianapolis at the road, at the racetrack.
Yeah, because everybody's going to know that.
There's people. That are big. That's what that is, okay? They had it back in the day, and then they've redone it multiple times.
Do they still have the pagoda?
It's called the pagoda, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's 419 feet tall.
Okay.
It was originally, it looked very much like the traditional ones back in the 20s and 30s, and then after World War II and the track went in disarray, they redid everything, and it's, you know, it just looks like a little skyscraper now. It's nothing fantastic to look at. So botanical gardens, they can be indoors and out. And typically the ones that are indoors are more specifically catered to a certain climate environment for year round. And the ones outdoors are plants that are, okay for the location that you're in. And you can see the transition from season to season, in those outdoor locations much more than you can the indoor. I mean, the one we talked about, the dome one, the tropical one, it's like you walked in, for those who've been in the South, it's like, you know, August 15th, every day.
It's
March. Hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is humid. It hits you like somebody punches you in the face. If you've been in Southern Illinois or in the South when it's hot, humid summer, that's exactly what that feels like.
You had a good time at the dome, didn't you?
I guess it's been several years.
It's been like 3 years.
That's several years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had fun.
And the desert was very hot and dry.
It was very hot.
Just like, I mean, identical. You know, for people who are familiar with that, like, well, what's so fun about this? It's a dry heat, you know.
You experienced the dry heat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know you liked the dome so much. We'll have to go back soon.
Well, they for years, for those who are outside of the realm of Wisconsin news, for years they have always talked about, you know, we're going to take them down, they're going to fall down, it's the end, and that's a whole nother
Well, they
deal.
Keep saying that about the stadium too now, yeah. But anyway, so
people in Denver are just fascinated that we're talking about local type. The show originates out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, for those who are trying to put together the pieces, and why are we talking about that specific? That's where the show originates from.
Right. And who knows? Maybe somebody will now be curious about the domes and come take a trip to humble little Milwaukee. So, yeah.
Do your research before you go. If look for what's around, do your research before you go. And if you do have questions, give them a call. I see a lot of things on your website. What does it cost to get in? What is allowed in? Can I bring water in? Is it a lot of walking? Is it, you know, I'm assuming, you know, I'm handicap accessible is everything now.
Most are, yeah.
But it doesn't hurt to ask, because you'd much rather be prepared than to get in there and go, well, I didn't know this, or I wish I would have had that.
And there's also some days where they may only have free admission certain days of the week.
And certain days they only open for certain hours, or they may not be open at all.
There's that too. And also there's, I know like you can become a member of most of these gardens for a yearly fee. And there's certain days that are like member only days. So mm-hmm. you want to keep that in mind. So yeah, definitely do your research. Don't just be like, oh, well, I'm pretty sure they're open on this Tuesday, and then they're not.
They're closed on the fourth Tuesday of every month, and that was the day you were going to go.
Yeah, so you want to keep that in mind, that there are things like that. It's just, they're just fun overall. Sometimes they have tours, specific tours, so you can often find out about that. If you are having problems finding a botanical garden near you, if you reach out to a local university, they might be able to to let you know, because a lot of them are ran by universities. But typically, if you just type in botanical gardens and the zip code, you're going to find them.
Well, summer is over. Holly, kids are in school. Nights are colder and getting colder. And the lawn still needs a little of your help that you have probably walked away and forgot about.
Yeah, just because it's fall, we don't want to forget about our yards or those Japanese beetles. They may be gone, but they're not far. Not only do they feast on your roses and berries this summer, they laid eggs on your turf so that they can start again next year. Take a stand with Phylum's Grub Gone. Grub Gone is a non-chemical BT granule that specifically targets scarab pests and their larvae. Simply apply the granule with a spreader, irrigate it into the soil, and let the naturally occurring bacteria do its job.
And the best part about it, Grub Gone is easy to use, and it's the only non-chemical choice that effectively controls the grubs. It is non-toxic to bees and other beneficial insects and pollinators. In fact, Grub Gone has no label restrictions to be used around flowering plants, so you don't have to worry about toxifying those beneficial insects and destroying their hives or their living quarters. Remember, it's Grub Gone from phylumbioproducts.com or grubgone.com, the natural choice.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.